Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 19, text 207-208. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Mora Satya Sabe Shuni Mana Diaye. Amare Puja Mora Sevaka Langia. Sayadama Jane More Kande Kande Kare. Tara Puja Mora Gaye Agni Hena Pode. Everyone listens to my words. Everyone listen to my words. Any fallen soul who disrespects my servants and worships me, he cuts me into pieces. His worship feels like fire to my body. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from New Jersey. Somehow by providence, this is the place where I wound up. And it's serving me very nicely. In one sense, according to my desires, and somehow it's Krishna's desires, I wake up, I have no obligations, no responsibilities imposed upon me until I go to sleep, which is ideal for chanting the holy name of Krishna. And I kind of feel it's almost age appropriate, be 70 in October. I wrote that Monday morning greetings that we need devotees who do nothing. So in a sense, that's my objective now. But I think it's great service if I can do it to Prabhupada and his mission also. And of course, I hope it gives me some energy for these classes. So let's get things up to context. There's this old saintly Vaishnava. He's the Acharya. And as the Acharya, everyone worships him. But the problem he sees is that Lord Chaitanya, who is 50 years his junior, so Dvaita now must also be in his 70s, and he has above a mood of that he wants to serve Lord Chaitanya, and he wants to express that service. He wants to put his head on his feet. He wants to stand before him with folded arms. He wants to just humbly serve him. But because of his position poses an obstacle to that. Just by the laws of etiquette, even God follows the laws of etiquette. We described before when Mara Yudhisthira was going to see Grandfather Bhishma Dev, Krishna was in the entourage because he was junior. People don't make all kinds of mind reading mental adjustments. He's more advanced, he's less advanced. There's a certain extent to that, but that has to be recognized. And they follow the etiquette. They follow the older brother. They follow the father. They worship the grandfather. So it weighed in his heart, this desire to just personally serve Lord Chaitanya, and not only serve him, but to have Lord Chaitanya recognize him as his subordinate. So he could feel anugraha, not respect. Respect moves upwards. Mercy flows downwards. So he wanted that relationship. And he was so desperate for that relationship and to feel that bhav, just to sit before Lord Chaitanya as his subordinate and feel the waves of mercy and affection coming from Lord Chaitanya rather than the love of respect. Maybe we can relate to it in a very practical way. We want to sit before Prabhupada's lotus feet in this mudra. Mudra means you put your hands where you want your consciousness to go. This mudra. This is the anubhav for service. Anubhav means actions that have a flavor of emotion. And each relationship with Krishna or any relationship has actions that have a flavor of emotion that are essential to the composite feeling of love and devotion. So this is the anubhav for a servant. I am waiting for your order. One time I was chanting japa and somehow my mind was wandering and I just thought, well, what will I do? So I put myself in my mind outside of Prabhupada's door in Vada Damodar when he was there and in the mood of waiting for his order. Now you can all imagine kind of personally if somehow or other Prabhupada appeared and walked over to you and chanted and said your name and said, can you have some service? It's so nice to get service. But you can't order the superior. Prabhupada, can you get me a glass of water? You can't order a superior. Lord Chaitanya would not order Advaitacharya. The night that Prabhupada passed away, there wasn't that many devotees because I was in the room. And it was full but not packed. So you can imagine how many devotees were in. And I remember, I walking by Prabhupada's house in Tamal Krishna Marj. went outside and looked and he saw me. He said, I need some help. Can you clean Prabhupada's room? The room that he left, the floor with eucalyptus oil. They used to clean it with eucalyptus oil. So a devotee likes to get the service, especially from someone who he respects. You can all think of someone who you respect. And you really have that respect, that type, how much you'd like to receive their affection when they offer you some service. Service is the greatest benediction. Not to be served, but to serve. That's the whole Vaishnav conception. Ego means we put ourselves in the middle, and our faith is being in the center. But the whole process of Vaishnavism is getting out of the center. We read the Bhagavatam. Why? Because it glorifies Krishna, and therefore we become inclined to put him in the center of our lives. We become inclined out of attraction and love, because that's what attraction and love does. We become inclined to move out of the center. So this is the whole ecstatic mood of devotion. Therefore, when the cowherd boys, Krishna has some service for them to get some food. And he sends them to the Brahmins. And how do they address the Brahmins? Bhadram te, all auspiciousness to you, because we are carrying the order of Krishna, who needs something from you. He needs some service. And why are they so condemned? Because they didn't understand that was what auspiciousness is. And sometimes we don't understand. We may think that control and position is what's auspicious. Service is what's auspicious. So Advaita, how is he going to reverse this? Lord Chaitanya is such a cultured gentleman. So he thinks the only way I can do this is if I preach a philosophy that covers devotional service. Because you see, I petitioned Lord Chaitanya simply to come because devotional service was being covered in Navadvipa by so many upper sampradayic philosophies. So let me preach one of them. Let me preach Yoga Vashishta, Mayavad philosophy. Certainly, Lord Chaitanya will become angry and he'll chastise me, and I will be his subordinate. I will feel his mercy. Finally, I will feel his mercy. So, Lord Chaitanya, it works, and Lord Chaitanya chastises him severely. Even says that he beat him, my God. And then Advaita's reaction is he claps his hands in ecstasy. He's happy. He actually even inspires Lord Chaitanya almost to, you know who I am, and he presents his divinity, and Advaita's in ecstasy. And then Lord Chaitanya's anger subsides and he feels very embarrassed. I'm going to get up to today's point. And he starts to give Advaita a benediction. And you really have to understand the context of it. He is just so embarrassed that he is going to give Lord Advaita a benediction that glorifies this position of the devotee who so much wanted to feel that mood of service that he infuriated me to beat him. And he gives him the benediction. He says, I will bestow mercy on any living entity, even an ant, an animal, an insect, or a bird, who takes shelter of you, the devotee, Advaita. Even if that living entity commits hundreds of offenses against me. If someone serves you, I don't care what they do to me. That's how much I revere my devotee. And Advaita, he says, your declarations can't be false, but then he basically contradicts them. Because, and we discussed this extensively in the last class. I don't have to go over this, how you understand verses in context. So he's not contradicting the essence of what Lord Chaitanya said, just the words. And he says, well, he's going to say, well, whatever you say can't be false, but now hear what I have to say. And what he says is, actually speaking, even if someone worships me and offends you, and doesn't accept you at the Supreme, he's not dear to me. Matter of fact, I can't even look at their face. Good Lord Chaitanya said, well, anyone who worships you, even if they offend me, he said, no, I can't even look at their face. And to such an extent, I don't care if it's my family, I'll reject them, which he did. He rejected three of his sons simply for this fact historically, that they wanted to worship Advaita and not Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme. And then he gave so many examples, Advaita, because he's Acharya. When you're Acharya, you make your statement and then you increase one's conviction in it by the Shastra, because our faith is in the Shastra. That's what's true. So he gives so many examples from Ravana who worship. And not only that, he said, if one is worshiping the demigods and don't worship you, that same demigod will destroy him. And he gives so many examples. From the Hiranyakashipu worshiping Lord Brahma, but against Vishnu. The Odna, who worships Baladev, what was against Krishna. From Ravana, who worshiped Lord Shiva, who was against Ram. So many examples. And he said, you know, if you don't worship you, Lord Chaitanya, if someone doesn't worship you and is just going to respect me, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's like watering the leaves of a tree and cutting off the root. It just doesn't work. So now, Lord Chaitanya he listens, he appreciates what he says, but he gets back to the same point. What was Lord Chaitanya's point? It was the importance of worshiping the devotee. Of course, Advaita didn't say it's not important to worship the devotee. He just said you can't do it without worshiping Krishna, which what Lord Chaitanya was apparently saying. Well, he was in the mood of a devotee himself. So he's not contradicting that you shouldn't worship the devotee, but that was his point, how much we should worship the devotee. Okay, Advaita, you made the point that you can't separate that from worshiping God. We know our philosophy, achintya bheda bheda tattva, simultaneously one and different. We know that what's our philosophy? Pancha tattvatmakam krishnam, bhakta rupa sarupakam, bhaktavataram bhaktavyam, namami bhakti shaktikam. We know that there's five aspects of the absolute truth. And if you neglect any one, you're offending the absolute truth. If you treat someone nice in four places, but in the fifth place you insult them, then you insult the person. If you worship the deity, but you go out and offend the devotees, you are offending Krishna. It's just a psychological, ontological fact that if you respect someone, you respect them in all their aspects. So Lord Chaitanya is making this point. Okay, Advaita, you made your point that you have to worship also God. I want to get back to my original point, and that's the glorification of the devotee. And a fallen person who doesn't worship my servant, my devotee, then it feels like he's feeling fire to my body, because these are the limbs of the absolute truth. Now, my wish-fulfilling holy names destroy one who blasphemy my servant. Just like it said me at that point was there with the demigods. If you worship the demigods but don't worship Vishnu, the demigods will destroy you. So if you worship Krishna and you offend his devotees, then Krishna will destroy you. He's making this point. This is called Vaishnavata, Vaishnavism. And Vaishnavism, how to deal with the devotees, is such an essential point of Sambandhigyan. This point was made to me by Pradyumna. Pradyumna, it was Prabhupada's Sanskrit scholar, and this is a little bit of our history. After Prabhupada left, 11 people assumed the post of the gurus of ISKCON. And the context of it, some of them weren't even 30 years old. So, people were devotees for 7 years. And now they were acharyas in the movement. And Pradyumna told me he had such great respect for them because they gave their lives to Prabhupada. They were powerful people. We honor them. They gave their lives to Prabhupada. But not being mature, they took that position and they took the position as Prabhupada took. But the difference was Prabhupada put his disciples under them, they had to also put their godbrothers under them. And most of the devotees in the movement, when Prabhupada left, of course, they were his godbrothers. So Pradyumna told me at that time, and he wrote a famous letter explaining the Siddhanta, which they took offense to at the time. But when you read it back, it was just so philosophical. But he told me, I was concerned that they were violating the principle of Vaishnavata. Vaishnavata means Vaishnavism. And because they were violating the principle of Vaishnavata, that's one of the aspects of Sambandhagyan, basic foundational philosophical understanding of reality, which is the basis of being a guru. So it's respect of the devotees. It's so important. And now Lord Chaitanya, he wants to go even further. What really is a Vaishnava? What really is someone who can chant the name purely? It's one who has that vision. Vidya Vanya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Haishtana Suni Chaiva Supat. He has this equal vision. He sees that everyone is Krishna's servant. All living entities in the innumerable universes are my servants. So anyone who blasphemes any living entity is ruined. Fault finding. Paramahamsa Nimatsaranam Satam. Who is our philosophy for? Who is the Bhagavatam philosophy for? Nimatsaranam Satam. It is for the devotees who are near Matsara. They don't have hate and they don't have envy. And they don't have this propensity. Free from the propensity to criticize others for the sake of criticism born of envy. There's constructive criticism. We do have positions of authority. We are friends with their, but it's that when it comes from that material consciousness, which 90%, so 99% comes from that way. And I tell this story, you know, every year, I go, this is for 30 years maybe now, I go to Kartik and I stay in Govardhan and I take a Namvrata. I take a vow to chant the holy name a certain amount of times, and it's my favorite time of the year and it's so purifying. And then there's something the last 5 days called Bhishma Panchika. It encourages, if you haven't done anything for the month, then at least those 5 days, or you're doing something for the month, you can increase it in those 5 days, because Bhishma Panchika, because Bhishma was such a kshatriya, he couldn't fast for the month. So I think there's some benediction, at least 5 days. So I was going to the different devotees. What is your vow? I went to Jayadvaita Maharaj. Now, this was interesting because there was no internet at the time. So our only source of news was the Indian newspaper that got delivered to the ashram. That was it. It's not like today where a mind is a button. We're all over the world. So I asked Jayadvaita Maharaj. I said, what's your vow? He said, no newspapers. It felt like saying, Bhishma, what a terrible vow. Not terrible, not mean bad, but wow. And I asked Borijan Prabhu, and he said, for the last 5 days, I'm not going to criticize anybody. Well, I said, I'll also take up that vow. Try it and then see how difficult it is. because the false ego wants superiority, and one of its great weapons is the joy in finding fault with others. This Vaishnav culture, it's so wonderful. Really what a Vaishnav is. And I think our greatest contribution our greatest contribution should be Vaishnavas. Humbly wanting to serve others and being very careful not to find fault where none exists, especially, or even to find fault and point it out when it's not your responsibility other than your joy of doing so. Now he says, all living entities in the universe are my servants. Anyone who blasphemies them is ruined. And then he says to Advaita again, you are more important to me than my own body. So if anyone transgresses you, he will be unable to tolerate his fate. So Lord Chaitanya says, I'm repeating, no one should transgress. Okay, now I'm going to get it here. If even a sannyasi blasphemies an innocent person, he goes to hell and all his religious principles are destroyed. Anyway, the message is, be sadhu sabdan, sadhu sabdan. That means sadhu, be careful. Every year I used to help to sponsor the feast on Vishwarup Mahotsava, the day where Prabhupada took sannyas, in the place where Prabhupada took sannyas, with some of the few sadhus that were there, like what was his name? Seshayi Brahmachari. What a singer he was. Srila Narayan Maharaj. And they used to cook a feast for the Vaishnavas. And they have the science down of how to cook a feast and not waste money at the same time. It's such a science how they do it. They don't have money. They don't waste money. I can explain how they do it. And they have an etiquette because, again, this is very important. Why? Because culture, part of culture is properly relating to people. Because if you are not cultured and you don't relate to people properly according to your relationship, whether they're junior, whether they're equal, whether they're superior, if you don't have this, then it blocks your heart from the experience of love, even in a material sense that you need to nurture yourself. And it's one of the reasons why people are suffering so much today. They cut off the accesses of love, especially in terms of respect for authority. I remember also the story when Tamal Krishnamurti, when he went back to university, you know, and he had one professor who was mentoring him, and he was the acharya, but he would hold his books. He was his teacher. He would carry his books to the next place. So important. This type of culture. So if anyone transgresses you, he will be unable to tolerate his faith. Even if a sannyasi blasphemies an innocent person, he goes to hell and his religious principles are destroyed. Raising his arms, Lord Gauranga declared to the world, avoid offenses and chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of bhakti. Lord Chaitanya, avoid offenses and chant the holy name of Krishna. If one who is free from blasphemy chants the holy name of Krishna even once, I will certainly deliver him. So the story comes around to this, and this is really what's it about. Lord Chaitanya, don't offend the devotees. And then Advaita says, well, don't neglect God. Then Lord Chaitanya says, don't offend the devotees. Then Lord Chaitanya said, respect every living entity. Then he warns one, even a sannyasi, you know, be careful. Yeah, you're in a position of authority, how you instruct, you know, be very, very careful. So the whole story comes around simply to this point. If one who is free from blasphemy chants the holy name of Krishna, even once, I will certainly deliver him. So anyway, summed up this story, and the tattva of it is so important. The subject that's illustrated through the story, it's respect. It's respect and avoiding envy. Envy is in the heart. When it comes out, it's called criticism. So somehow criticism is even worse than envy when it is born of envy. And especially when it's directed towards the heart. He says every living entity you have to respect. Every living entity. But the heart is actually the receptacle for Krishna. And I told you, in Satya Yuga, they didn't have deities. They didn't need deities. They had pure people who were receptacles for Krishna in the heart. And you would just worship others. And it only came in Treta Yuga they started deity worship because people were less qualified to respect others and people were less qualified to represent Krishna. So you respect everyone. But when they've given their life to Krishna and they become receptacles for Krishna, then one has to be even more vigilant. So now here's this Leela, and it's also going to be explained that it's sometimes difficult to understand the Lord's pastimes. Sometimes. Because the actions are coming from the pure heart of love. And when they come from the pure heart of love, although mostly they will correlate to what we would say is moral or good behavior, but because they're born from that platform, they may not. Just like it's described in the Bhagavatam that one who is chanting out of ecstasy, one that goes into the platform of prema bhakti, he may not be cognizant of what's outside. So it doesn't always correspond. And therefore, the acharyas recommend that the most important thing in dealing with devotees is actually to see their inspired side. Not their birth, not their habits, not their nature. That will be purified by the process of Krishna consciousness. But what is their inspired side? What is their love? So we see here, sometimes sometimes it's easy. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is chanting Hare Krishna and he's delivering and he's showing compassion, and Nityananda is giving shelter to so many people, and Advaita is the Acharya. But sometimes, born out of that ecstatic love, their behavior doesn't correspond to what we would expect from someone who's simply on the platform of discrimination, who's conscious of everything. So that's also here in this pastime. But anyway, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction, all the devotees chanted Jai, Jai, because that's also a form of love. When you get a good instruction, when you hear a realization from someone, that's such an affection. And that's actually what a teacher is. What a teacher is he communicates a message through your frame of reference, through the way you see the world, to expand the way you see the world. And when you actually feel that from someone, you're feeling the greatest mercy. One of the greatest mercies is instruction and relationship with the teacher and being enlightened. The whole world is moving to enlighten you. We suffer, we go through so many things, things happen to us, but they are worth it if they enlighten us, if they bring us to a higher level of perception, a higher level of contentment. The world is made to do that. And so are the people who represent. And they may do it by able to communicate to you in a way through your own limited frame of reference that you can understand the point that brings you beyond your frame of reference. So the devotees seeing this pastime and then hearing Lord Chaitanya with conviction, It's like a person with conviction, he can say simple words and it's profound. If Prabhupada walked in the room and said, chant Hare Krishna, powerful. So Lord Chaitanya said, avoid blaspheming devotees and chant Hare Krishna. Advaita began to cry when hearing this, and he grabbed the Lord's two lotus feet. The Lord began to cry as he embraced Advaita. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they were having a hard time. They were new to Krishna consciousness. They were having a hard time hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness because it's sometimes so heavy. And they want to know, where is the love? And I spoke to my brother yesterday, and we talked about my mother. She's going to be 99 in June. And her younger brother who's 97, you know, somehow my brother was going to ask him for money for something. He's a very wealthy guy or something. Anyway, I talked to my brother, but I was thinking my uncle, he became an atheist. And I remember there was one Passover something, or he was there, and I think he turned to me and he said, how can you believe in God? All he's doing is smiting people, smiting. We smite them for 100 generations. We smite them, even if you know what the word meant, but I guess kill or chastise them. So where's the love? This is where the love is. When you see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's actually all it is. So Advaita is, he's crying. He got the mercy. He's holding on to Lord Chaitanya's feet. And the Lord also began to cry. The entire world floated in Advaita's ecstatic love. Such are the inconceivable topics of Advaita, that he spoke Yoga Vashishta philosophy simply because he wanted to be subordinate to Lord Chaitanya. Who has the power to understand Advaita's words? One should know there is no difference between him and the Supreme Lord. if one understands the superficial quarrels between Nityananda and Advaita, he will attain supreme happiness. Because Nityananda and Advaita would always quarrel. And here's Vrindavan Das Thakur. He's basically in line from Advaita because his mother was the niece, was it the niece or the sister of Srivas Thakur's wife? And Advaita, at Nityananda used to live in their house. So, and Nityananda was such an avadut. Avadut means he acted in ways out of bhav that people could not understand. So sometimes, after telling these pastimes, at the end he has to explain them. The words and activities of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas are incomprehensible. Only by their mercy can one understand them. Only Lord Balaram has the power to understand the pastimes that took place between Nityananda, Advaita, and their associates. In his form as Ananta, he sings their glories with his thousand mouth. I think if I go maybe 2-3 more minutes, I can finish this chapter. And therefore, I'll just read it. And then anybody has any reflections, they can share it. Vishvambhar then glanced at Advaita, that's Lord Chaitanya, and he smiled as he spoke to him. Have I been a mischievous like a child? Because he beat Advaita. Advaita said, not particularly. The Lord says, listen, Nityananda, if I have been restless, please forgive me. Then Nityananda, Chaitanya, Advaita, and Haridas looked at one another and they began to laugh. Vishvambhar Mahaprabhu would address the most chaste wife of Advaita's mother. The Lord said to her, go quickly and cook an offering for Krishna, then we will eat. Thereafter, Vishvambhar went to take bath in the Ganges with the associates headed by Nityananda, Haridas, and Advaita. These ecstatic pastimes will be described in the Vedas. After taking bath, the Lord and his associates returned to the house. After washing his lotus feet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances to Krishna. Advaita then fell at the feet of Vishvambhar, and Haridas fell at the feet of Advaita. Nityananda smiled while watching those wonderful pastimes. These three personalities are the bridge of transcendental religious principles. When the Lord began to rise, he saw Advaita at his lotus feet. He therefore quickly stood up and exclaimed, Vishnu, Vishnu, because he felt this is my superior. Thereafter, Vishvambhar took Advaita by the hand and went with Nityananda to the dining room. The three lords, Vishvambhar, Nityananda, and Advaita, then sat down together to eat. By nature, the lords were restless in their own ecstasies. Nityananda especially was so because of a childish mood. Anyway, it goes on a little bit longer than I thought. Anyway, it always ends in the expert and spontaneous exchange of love, which is what a Vaishnav society is. I'll just tell one other story. Is when I was in Vrindavan at the Goshala, there's that big house that's now the VIHE, and I had a cook, a Bengali cook, that was assisting me, that was the most amazing cook you could imagine. And the same system. If he brought out a quarter of a bucket of chutney for 100 people, it was the right amount for that feast and served the right way. Where when you don't know, you know, you have 20 preparations and you you know, make big buckets of everything and it goes to waste. They knew. But I remember on a codicil, he made, I know, I thought I saw Radhachand here, who's, I think it was cook in Vrindavan, and famous cook in China, I should say. He would make grains of potato that looked like grains of potato that looked like rice, and he would fry them and then make a kheer with them. And, you know, at the beginning of the movement, there wasn't that much, you know, it was just, the mission was just going out and preaching, and there wasn't that much of this culture. But in Vrindavan, we had a little sense of it. So at the Goshala, at one of my friend's houses, we would hold programs and we would chant bhajans. We would chant bhajans, and then we would have this cook serve a feast. And Tamal Krishnamaj was there, and Bhakti Trumaj was there, Abhiram was there. Those are the people I remember. And we had those kirtans, and we served the feast. And Tamal Krishnamaj was particular about food, that prasad, how it was. And it was so good that Tamal Krishnamaj, in the middle of the feast, looked up and said, I knew one day in this movement we'd be experiencing the ecstasy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I never knew it would happen so soon. So we're expected also to have this life. And by reading these books, it gives us a sense of what it is. Okay, we still have about 10 minutes. Would anybody like to share any reflections, something in the class they heard that they appreciated, that struck them, that they'll take back?
Haribol Maharaj.
Jivuna Jaya.
Thank you so much for this class. There's so much. Number one, I love that you're making me love Advaita Acharya even more than I already did. He's just amazing. But I just love that last image of Lord Chaitanya bowing down. And so the chain of the, and then Advaita Acharya bowing down to him, and Hari Das Gautar bowing down to him, and then Lord Nityananda smiling childishly, or like a child. I just love that image because it's this beautiful chain of Vaishnavism. I feel like it's our chain flowing hopefully to us. So thank you for that image. It's just beautiful.
Wouldn't that be great, like dominoes, that one person paid a basis to the other and then the other?
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I kind of saw.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else like to share any reflection?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Radhachand. Haribol.
Haribol Maharaj. I was thinking about the verse that you quoted about the devotee having equal vision.
Yeah.
And what came to mind is we learn to be very careful to not offend Vaishnavas because they are servants of Krishna. However, we seem to be quite liberal in judging and even insulting verbally non-devotees, you know, calling them names because of what they're doing, because of their conditioning. Are these considered offenses to the eyes of Krishna?
You've thought about this. What do you think?
Well, I do think that they are servants of Krishna. They're just not aware of it. However, the devotee should be aware of it and therefore should respect devotees and non-devotees as much as respecting other living entities.
I like that answer. I like what you said, that they are devotees, but they're not aware of it, but devotees should be aware. And of course, the dealings are also different, right? I mean, out of love for someone, you may have to avoid them because they're so offensive. But that's mercy also. And it's actually, it's very subtle too, because, you know, when someone insults someone you love, you know, when they insult Krishna or something, then sometimes anger is an expression of our love. But that would be maybe the exception. Well, it, you know, the Shashastakam verse says, amanina madinina, that to be devoid of sense of false prestige and offer all respect to others. So I guess the mood is respect. And at least as a servant of Krishna, as a soul, and our dealings with them may vary. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Great to see you. Not see you. I can't see you, but great to hear you. You know.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Anybody else like to share a reflection?
Hey, Krishna Maharaj, I actually have a couple of questions, if that's okay, instead of a reflection, or would you like for me to wait?
Well, it's getting towards the end. You can ask a question.
Yeah. Okay, hi, Krishna. Okay, earlier you referred to five aspects of the Absolute.
Yeah.
And I'm only aware of three, so I was wondering what all five are.
Well, that's the Panchatattva.
Oh, okay.
It's the Panchatattva. It Panchatattva makam Krishnam. Bhakta Rupa, there's Panchatattva Makha Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa, the form of a devotee, Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam, the essence of a devotee, the devotee, Bhakti Apyam, the Mami Bhakti, the Shakti of the devotee, the Bhakti Shakti. The Bhakti Shakti is Gadadhar.
Okay.
The devotee is Srivas Thakur.
Uh-huh.
Bhakta avataram, the avatar of a devotee,
okay,
is Advaita. The sarup of a devotee is Nityananda. So Panchatattva Makha Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam, and Lord Chaitanya is the form of a devotee.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you, okay. Hare Krishna, and thank you for such a beautiful class.
Hare Bo. Okay. Thank you. Okay, one more person, any reflection or question?
Herbal Maharaj, yes. I feel like maybe because we're coming from a culture where the people who were often given respect or authority haven't embodied it. So sometimes a part of me, I feel like I see the value and beauty and depth of this pastime and its purport, but at the same time I feel like there's a level where it can be abused. I just wonder if you have any thoughts on that, like, you know, how do we, of course we want to give respect to everyone, but we also don't want to give respect to those who maybe aren't embodying the ideals of that.
Well, there's two points that you made. One is respect and one is following authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean we have to follow the authority of everyone, mm-hmm, right? It means there's respect for everyone. We don't have to follow their authority. So obviously, if someone is abusive, you don't follow their authority. But I guess, on the highest sense of Vaishnavism, there can be a sense of compassion. I'll give you an example. The example would be Socrates. I love this example. In the assembly, the people that condemned him to die, what was his vision? His vision was, if you think you can harm me, you can't harm me, you'll only harm yourself. So what did that mean? He didn't think that they had the advantageous position. He thought that they had a very lamentable position because they were acting against Dharma. So, and you can't artificially come to the platform of Paramahamsa because the Paramahamsa is Nirmatsara. He doesn't have any hate.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't artificially come to the platform. But in terms of what you were saying, we should, we don't, you know, humility means to accept authority. And authority does not mean anybody just in position. It means someone who represents knowledge and represents love and affection. It doesn't mean that you surrender to any crazy person, and that's humble. But it doesn't mean that on the highest platform, there still can't be respect. Not respect as an authority, but respect as a soul of Krishna. The other problem we have is because we have these samskaras, it's hard to respect authority in general. And I give you an example. When I first came to Vrindavan, Prabhupada made this principal of the school. His name was Dr. Omkarnath Sharma. And he was like an amazing personality. Amazing personality. He was a master yogi. He was a master artist. He was a millionaire businessman. He had a PhD in Hindi. He had an MA in Sanskrit. And he had a master's of art in filmmaking from the University of Southern California in 1950. So he used to tell me that when he was in the university in Southern California, the teacher would walk into the room and he would stand up. And he was the only one. And all the American boys and girls, it's, you know, California, they had their arms around their girlfriends. They had their feet on the, you know. So, you know, he knew culture. He knew how to create the proper relationships. So those samskaras are important, you know, how to respect people. Because we benefit from that, because it's a channel. Respect goes upward, affection goes downward. So you can open up that channel. So it's unfortunate that we have these samskaras in the sense that we may not be able to take advantage of the relationships that can benefit us. But we also have to be very careful to not enter into relationships that can harm us. And that's why the Kali Yuga is unfortunate, because it says achradayana, because of faithlessness. It's created faithlessness. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very hard for people to actually be students and actually learn, because it's created faithlessness, because people disappoint in terms of authority. And that's actually had such an effect on society, and that's tragic in society. You know, but we should think of the benefit we could get if we actually develop culture. And that's why I like growing up in India, because I could actually see it. I could actually see it in elderly people, you know. And I always told that story of Dr. Fakir Mohan. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I went with him and my friend to see their parents that came into Vrindavan. And my friend was from Oxford. He was a guru. And his mother was, you know, fine lady with frizzy gray hair. And Dr. Fakir Mohan, he came in, he paid his obeisances to her. And he was like the most learned scholar in India. He paid his obeisances to her. He was like, my friend was astounded. He said, Mom, this is, you know, Dr. Fakir Mohan. He is the Sangeet Acharya in singing. He's the chairman of the Sanskrit department at Utkal University. He's a Baba. He went on and on. And Dr. Fakir Mohan said, you know, this is our culture. Then he said, no, we feel it. So, and I remember when I first met him, I was trying to, you know, greet him, and he kept on moving like this. And I kept on And this I realized he was avoiding stepping on my shadow. But look at what his position was. So it's good to have it and also to have the discrimination to use it. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello and then we'll go?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh. Oh, hey. Hey. We're getting darshan of Vrindavan. This is my pandit from Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna.
Wow. So nice to see you.
Same, Maharaj. I'm feeling very fortunate, Maharaj. And would not leave you that easily, no? Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for coming on. Great to see you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj, I have a question here. A small question. How can we give up our independent mentality, Maharaj?
You have to surrender to Guru and Krishna. You have to find those people you feel represent God. And then surrender to them. That's the only way. Okay, you're okay. You're okay there?
Absolutely fine, Maharaj.
Okay.
Absolutely fine. Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, I Everything see you're on the roof of the building where I
Yes,
stay.
Maharaj, I'm on the roof. If you want to have darshan of Vrindavan, I can maybe show you.
All right.
This is
okay.
This is Vrindavan. All beautiful.
We're not getting it, so
it'll be empty at sunset time.
Oh, okay, now we got it.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Haribo. Good to see you. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
That's your buddy, Raghunath. Okay.
All right.
All right. Hello. Good. All right. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
You know, I just got a message from Siddheshri. And she said, are you giving any classes online? Everybody's giving classes online. So forward her the information, okay?
Okay, I will.
Great to see both of you. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. It was a great class. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Loved your definition of authority, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gail.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Chinmay Radha.
Oh, Hari Bo. Yes. Thanks for coming on. Nice.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Dota Gopinath here.
Wow. Okay. Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Nice just seeing a glimpse of Vrindavan, right?
Take what we can get.
Raghunath did the initiation for Hemalata Radha and for Advaita Acharya. Hi, Bo. Jai Kishori. Okay.
Hi, Bo. Sorry. I guess I was muted.
No, I saw you. That's good. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, wow, Shirupa. Hi, Bo. Missing Vrindavan?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Okay, Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharika.
Jai, Hare Bo. Good. Some others?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Aaron.
Okay, Aaron, Hare Bo. Okay. Some more?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Jagannath Hapriya.
Oh, okay. Okay, from Gokarna. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, bro. Kamal. I was thinking of you. Hari Bol. Radhacharan, you want to say a few more words?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Krishna Premi.
Oh, Krishna Premi, okay.
Radhacharan, I want to say something too.
Okay.
Fond memories from the Vrindavan kitchen in the early 80s.
Oh my God.
Thank you very much for engaging me.
Wow. That was so nice, wasn't it? It's not a time where we had money, right? We didn't have any money, right?
There was nothing.
You had to be very expert. People who come now, they don't know what it was like back then, right?
To cook with green wood.
To cook with green wood, not have any budget, and still be expected to produce really great things. And it was just a whole different world, you know. It's great. And Radhacharan, it's nice to see the community here, huh?
Yeah, right? It's very nice, because I hear your lectures for so many years, and then I hear everyone coming up to say hello, but now I see the faces. I'm just waiting to see Gail one day.
Gail, can you put your thing on so Radhacharan can see you? He's heard hundreds of my classes.
So sorry, Babu. I'm on the bodily platform.
Sometime. Okay, I have to go now because it's time for my schedule. Thank you all. See you again on Saturday morning, my time. Pancha Kalpa, Tirupya Shakya, Pasindhi Deva, Jyapati.